right. Merry Christmas, everybody. It's great to worship with you this morning, and I hope you're doing really well. But before we get into our message, I want to ask you a question, and that's, how are you doing? And I don't mean that in the friendly greeting sort of way. I mean that in the actual, how are you doing kind of way. It's Christmas, it's a busy time of year, it's a stressful time of year, and all of that is still all true, and it's happening in what might be the most stressful year of your life. So I just want to encourage you, whether today you're in your bed watching from your laptop, or whether you're all dressed up, you've had breakfast, you're sitting on the couch with your family, I'm glad that you made it to our service today. And I know that God has something special for each and every one of you who are watching with us today. This is a tough and weird Christmas, as I'm sure you've had conversations with people. And I think the hard thing is Christmas is a time of tradition. And our traditions don't look the same this year. Maybe grandma and grandpa, just God bless them, they can't figure out Zoom for the life of them, and you just haven't been able to get that to work out. Maybe you don't know where to put the laptop on the Christmas table to make it feel like the whole family's really there. The Christmas parties, those aren't happening. Our Christmas Eve service, I know a lot of you look forward to that every year, to come here and be here with us in this building. And although we do have a great Christmas Eve service for you at 4 and 7 on Christmas Eve, it's a little bit different. We encourage you to start a watch party, but it's just not quite the same, and the traditions that we have, that we're used to, aren't happening. However, a lot of what Christmas is about is still happening, and some of the things of Christmas that we used to kind of take for granted are maybe a bit more special this year as well. I've really enjoyed, this is my first Christmas with my son Gage, and I've loved driving around looking at Christmas lights. We've loved decorating, and Gage loves decorating. Nobody loves decorating for Christmas like Gage does. We have a picture here, hopefully for you guys here, of him setting up some lights. And this is, there he is, yes. So you can see here his joy cannot be contained. His eyes are squished, his mouth is wide. He's holding on to Christmas lights, and the joy of Christmas has overwhelmed him. You see, his mom loves Christmas. And I think Gage caught some of that. And one of my favorite things, every morning I take him down to our living room, we go downstairs, and there's the tree. And it's all lit up and it has decorations. And Gage's first word, actually, when we right after we decorated our tree, was tree. But it's coming from him, it's more like tree. And this is just his favorite thing about Christmas. You guys probably all have these things of Christmas that, although they're different, are still very enjoyable, and it's still a special time. It's a special time for here at SBC as well, as we've been looking at the cast of Christmas. We've been talking about Mary, we've been talking about Joseph, the shepherds. Spoiler alert, Christmas Eve is going to be about Jesus. I shouldn't have let that one out of the bag. I know everyone was wondering what you were going to talk about on Christmas Eve, but there you go. And today, we're going to look at a different member of the cast of Christmas, someone crucial in the cast of Christmas, but isn't really talked about all that often, and that's the angels. And there are numerous angels in the story, but there's one main angel that gets brought up a couple times throughout the story, and that is Gabriel. When we talk about angels, you probably have a picture in your head of what an angel looks like. This person is probably a body of a person, probably white, had a nice couple wings, maybe a halo on top of their head, and that's what an angel is to you. There's a few different angels described in the Bible. None of them look like that, but there are a couple ones. There's a seraphim, and these are six-winged angels, and they're in the courts of heaven. They're constantly praising God, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." the whole earth is filled with his glory, and that's what these angels do. There's another angel, the cherubim, and these are angels that were placed in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve sinned to protect the tree of life, and these angels have four heads and four wings, and they're all covered in eyeballs, which is a very strange-looking angel. And Gabriel, the angel in our story, is neither one of those. We believe that he might be one of two archangels in the Bible alongside Michael. And Gabriel has a very special role in the Bible. He probably has the ability to appear like a regular person, and also he is the messenger, God's chief messenger to his people. God's pretty smart, and why would he choose Gabriel as the messenger there? Well, probably if you choose one of your eyeball wing dragon things to send a message to some people, I don't think that message is going to come across too well. So he sends Gabriel, God's chief messenger. And that's an important role because angels are messengers. The actual original word, angelos in Greek, means messenger. And when God has an important message to send to his people, he has one go-to angel that he knows is going to get the job done, and that's Gabriel. When you have something important to do, maybe it's in work or in life in general, that you need to delegate, you probably have some people that you trust more than others, and you have some people that you know are going to get the job done. For instance, I lead our youth ministry here, and I have a few go-to people for certain things in our youth ministry. If I need 50 chairs stacked, and I need all of the tables in this room moved over to that room, and I need something brought in from here, and I need someone to make sure all the behind-the-scenes stuff is working out fine, Michaela is my go-to person. I know she can get it done. When I need someone to bring the party and be loud and have fun and make sure everyone's having a good time, Vicky's my go-to person. When I need someone to lead our grade 7 boys group and by the end of the night not want to hurt them or themselves, Marcus is my go-to guy. He's the only person I got for the job. So we have these go-to people, and I could go on about these go-to people that I have in my life, and we have them as well. And that's what Gabriel is. He's the go-to messenger for God's important messages for the coming of Jesus. See, Gabriel appears twice in the Bible, and both times he has this important message that Jesus is coming. Gabriel first appeared in the book of Daniel, around 600 years before Jesus, and this is when Israel was in a tough place. They had just been invaded by Babylon. And God's people were lost. And Gabriel came to Daniel, and he showed Daniel how to move forward. Gabriel clarified some confusions that Daniel was having. He told Daniel what to expect for the next 600 years. And he told Daniel that one day a Savior was coming. 600 years had passed. The people of God waited for what Gabriel had said to pass. And the time has come. Jesus was coming down. So the same angel that told Daniel came down again to remind God's people that Jesus is coming. And this time, he came to the cast of Christmas to share his message. Gabriel comes at a similar time. Israel is occupied by Rome, struggling to move forward. They need hope and guidance, and Gabriel has this big message for the cast of Christmas. Jesus is coming. Heaven is coming down, and God is becoming flesh. And instead of just going to one person this time, Gabriel goes to at least a couple people. He goes to Zechariah. He goes to Mary. It might have also been him speaking with Joseph or the shepherds. And he has an important and life-changing message to share, and he gets that message out. See, God had a message for each person in the cast of Christmas. And those messages transformed their life. When Gabriel spoke to Mary, he prepared her and he entrusted her with the birth of Jesus. Pretty big job. He gave her insight. He answered her questions. Gabriel even told Mary about her relative Elizabeth, who was older than her, also pregnant at the same time, someone who could mentor her and help her through this difficult time that she was having. The message to Mary not only gave her information that she needed, it gave her clarity, it gave her a job to do, and it helped her to do that job. Mary's life went from very typical. She was about to be married, and she was going to probably start her family and just go on from there. Her life went from ordinary to extraordinary after this message from an angel. He then spoke to Joseph. God had a crucial message for Joseph. If this message didn't get out to Joseph, he would have divorced Mary. Mary would have been pregnant, alone, trying to raise Jesus, struggling for her life, if this message didn't get out. God's message was sent from an angel, a messenger, to give him insight into this bizarre situation that he was in. You know, it turns out, Joseph, actually, Mary didn't cheat on you. She's going to give birth to the Savior. And it's your job to take care of her, to support her through this difficult situation. And because of this message from an angel, Joseph's life had an extraordinary blessing. He was the adopted father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucial in Jesus' upbringing. He took on a lot of challenges as well from this. People thought that his now wife was unfaithful to him, took on shame from that. The angel's message to Joseph was difficult. It required humility and sacrifice. And also, after looking past all of that, it was a huge blessing for Joseph. The angels then talked to the shepherds. And when they spoke to the shepherds, they had a very simple message to the shepherds. They were just out there in their fields. The angels say, "Shepherds, you need to go over there." They come down from heaven and they say, "You got to see what's happening over here, because if you see what's happening over there, it is going to blow your mind, shepherds. This is the best thing in the world that's happening over there. You got to go and see it." And so the shepherds, after seeing this whole choir of angels come down from heaven, their response is to go and see Jesus. Try to think of how crazy that is for a moment. Put yourself in their shoes. They saw a bunch of angels come down from heaven, and they start singing, and their response is, "Wow, I can't wait to go see a baby in a smelly barn next to a couple of nobody parents." I mean, imagine you're walking downtown and you're walking along the street and you see a group of people coming up to you. And as you get closer, oh, it turns out that group of people is the Queen of England, LeBron James, Sidney Crosby, Robert Downey Jr., and Will Smith. And you think, "Oh, well, hey guys, wow, that's quite a group of people here." And they say, "Yeah, but you wouldn't believe what just happened over at Vic General Hospital. A baby was born." And you think, "What? A baby? I got to go get my car, drive to Vic General Hospital right now to see that baby." That would be a very weird thing to do. But that's what these shepherds are doing. They see a host of angels. They get a little excited about that. And then they see baby Jesus, and it transforms their life. Their response after seeing Jesus is to tell the world what they saw. It wasn't the angels that were worthy of telling the story. It was baby Jesus that was worthy of telling the story. Because God's message to the shepherds through the angels, these shepherds acted, they moved, they saw what God wanted them to see. And because of this message, they ended up becoming the first evangelists of Christianity without even knowing it. Throughout the whole Christmas story, it's angels giving a message to the cast of Christmas. might be easy to think that angels only show up for special occasions, like the birth of Jesus, or when they're revealing Daniel the future. But I think if you read the Bible from start to finish, you'll be surprised that it's full of angels appearing to regular people throughout the whole Bible, all walks of life. And a lot of the time, angels appear to people looking like regular people. We often think of these winged angels coming down from heaven. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's them appearing in a dream, or sometimes it's them just looking like a regular person. Angels appear to the cast of Christmas in all different ways. You know, first we have the shepherds, and they did the kind of the typical come down from heaven, the Lord's glory is surrounding them, and it's bright, and there's a whole bunch of them, and it's exciting. To Joseph, they appeared in a dream. To Mary, it probably looked like a regular person. Interesting thing about Mary is she wasn't afraid when Gabriel came to her. So there's a couple ways you can go about that. Either when all these grown men see an angel, they're terrified and they're scared and they want to run away, and Mary, this 14-year-old girl, is just so calm, cool, and collected that it doesn't really bother her that much. A little bit confused as to why she's pregnant with the Holy Spirit, but seeing an angel, no big deal. It's possible, not throwing that out there, but the more likely scenario is that Gabriel just appeared to her looking like a regular person. There's no one way that angels appear. The only constant is that they have a message from God to the people they appear to. And this Christmas, I know that God has a message for each one of you listening today. You know, how long have you been saying Christmas needs to change? Right? It gets more and more consumeristic, commercialized, bigger every year. And then maybe on Christmas Eve, we go with our family to go see the Christmas Eve service, talk about Jesus, and we think, okay, that's what Christmas is about. That's what it should be about. And then the next day, we open tons of presents. And then the day after that, we go buy a bunch more presents for some reason because we didn't get enough. And then we think, oh, maybe Christmas should be different next year. Well, this Christmas is going to be different for all of us. It's going to be smaller. And maybe that's part of God's message to you this Christmas, to turn your eyes away from that to something else. Because I believe Christmas is a special season. The Christmas story is one of the most angel-filled stories of the New Testament. We know that angels think Christmas is important. And angels have messages to share at Christmas to the whole cast of Christmas. See, the first cast of Christmas was pretty small. But like any good Christmas story, they just pump out a ton of sequels. And lucky for you, you're in the cast of Christmas as well for the 2020th sequel. And I think it's going to be a great sequel this year. And God has a special message for you this Christmas. I don't know what exactly it might be, but I do know what I think it is for some of you. And it's from one of my favorite verses, Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. It says this, "Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it." And I hope you caught that there. Because that's what that is saying, is that angels aren't just a thing of biblical history. They weren't just in the original cast of Christmas. They're here for the sequels too. And when you show kindness to a stranger, you might be showing kindness to an angel. When you feed a stranger, you might be feeding an angel. When you give generously like you did to serve the City Christmas Edition, you're not only helping families this year at a difficult time of year, you're entertaining angels without realizing it. I know some of you probably think I'm crazy. Maybe you've been a Baptist for too long, and Christianity is about following the rules, doing the right thing, and all this crazy talk of miracles and angels that might have been something that happened in the Bible doesn't happen anymore. I want to tell you that's not true. I'm going to tell you a story that I hope would persuade you. Going back about 10 years ago, I was living downtown, and I was leading a group of students. And on my own time, I would go downtown and spend a lot of time with the homeless and feed them and talk with them. And I would also do that every couple weeks with this group of students that I was leading. And I got to know pretty much all of the street people downtown. And whenever I took this group of students downtown, I would find this one guy named Rick. And I would never see him any other time, but when I took these students, we would find Rick. And we would give Rick something to eat. And the thing about him, Rick, was he was always very encouraging. He always had a great word to say to us, and it was always more of a blessing to serve Rick than it was the sandwich that we gave him. He ended up coming up with a nickname for one of the students that we had brought with us. And he called this one student the Greatest Little Warrior. I don't know why that was his name, but that's what he called this one particular student. And he always had a message of encouragement for the Greatest Little Warrior. And we did this for a while until eventually we kind of went our separate ways. And I stayed in touch with some of the people downtown and with some of the students. And fast forward about 6 or 7 years later, I get a message from the Greatest Little Warrior. It says, "Steve, you won't believe what happened. I was downtown and I was doing stuff I probably shouldn't have been doing, and life was kind of going away where it shouldn't have, and I was kind of getting into some trouble. And I was about to make a bad decision, and I hear from around the corner downtown, Rick saying, 'Hey, Greatest Little Warrior, how are you doing?' And he starts this conversation with this kid, and he has another message of encouragement to this kid, and he says, 'Don't be doing what you're doing. You should go home now.' So Greatest Little Warrior went home, and his life changed because of that one encounter, that one message from Rick. Here's the thing. I talked with all the people downtown, and I asked them about Rick. Nobody knew who I was talking about. Nobody had ever seen him or heard of him. He showed up exactly when he needed to, and he had the exact message that this one kid needed. You can take whatever you want with that information. I know that when I fed Rick, I was entertaining an angel, and at the time I didn't even realize it. I tell you that story because I think that God has a similar story waiting for you. This Christmas, we have an important role to play. I think this sequel of the Christmas story, the 2020th sequel, is going to see the cast of Christmas, which is all of you, entertain angels without realizing it. You're going to be entertaining angels by loving your neighbors, entertaining angels by showing kindness in the shopping centers, entertaining angels by reaching out to friends and family who are lost and lonely this year, entertaining angels by acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly. So Merry Christmas, everyone. Don't forget to entertain an angel this year. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for this story. Thank you for this message that you have from us. This message that you gave to the first cast of Christmas. That Jesus is coming, that heaven is coming down. God is becoming flesh. Thank you that you have a message for us as well this Christmas. A message to show love and kindness and be a light in this world. To entertain angels without realizing it, God. You are so good. God, I pray that this Christmas, with everything that is different, with traditions that are maybe taken from us, opportunities that we don't have, family that we can't see. God, I pray that our minds and our hearts aren't focused on what isn't, but I pray that we can be focused on what can be through you from us, God. You have a great plan for this Christmas. Can't wait to see what you do with this year's cast of Christmas, God. Let us entertain angels. In your name I pray. Amen.